Hey everyone, it's Angela Stevens, and I'm the CEO to Refocus, the creative office. I'm also the podcast host to Refocus with Angela, but I was recently interviewed on the Women Who Own It podcast. I had such a great time that I wanted to definitely put a link here so that you guys could listen to it. You'll find out more about me and how I focus and how I got this business going and things like that. So I hope you enjoy it. No matter what, have a great day. And please join us on our next podcast at Refocus with Angela.
More than anything, I have the saying that I say, you know, we all get so busy that we need to stop, take a moment, and refocus. And I think we have to present that calm to our children as well, or teenagers, yeah, or young adults. But as we
all need that. We all need that, right? Women Who Own It podcast spotlights women business owners who are pioneers in their field, setting trends, blazing trails, and creating game-changing innovations. Brought to you by WeBank, the largest certifier of women-owned businesses in the U.S. and a leading advocate for women business owners and entrepreneurs. And me, Allison Maslins. I've been a business owner for the last 35 years. I'm the Wall Street Journal best-selling author of the book Scale or Fail. So join our bold community of women who built it, grew it, and own it. I'll see you on the show. Welcome to the fourth season of the Women Who Own It podcast, where we are diving into the theme of momentum. And this year, we've been exploring how our network of women-owned businesses builds and sustains momentum in their practices and operations, from developing successful strategies to overcoming obstacles and leveraging community support. Our guests, they share their insights and amazing experiences in driving growth and innovation. We hope to inspire you with practical tips on how to stay ahead of the curve in this ever-evolving and changing market. So join us as we embark on this exciting journey of learning, discovery, and growth. And I am Allison Maslin. I'm the founder and CEO of Pinnacle Global Network, where we mentor CEOs around the world to grow and scale companies that change the world. And speaking of world changers, we have a fantastic guest today on Women Who Own It. Angela Stevens is the president of A. Stevens & Associates, and she is also the CEO and co-founder of Refocus, the creative office, and the co-founder of DDA West Coast Productions, and host of the Refocus podcast with Angela Stevens. And she is a busy lady. So we're going to dive into all of that on the show today. Now, A. Stevens & Associates is a boutique executive search firm founded in 1997 and focused on the pharmaceutical, biotech, medical device, consumer, food, and nutrition industries, as well as healthcare advertising and medical education. Now, I love her story. Refocus, the creative office, was created in 2016 to help her son in school and in life, as he had been diagnosed with ADHD in the fifth grade. And Angela herself was also diagnosed with ADHD later in life. So along the way, she realized being certified through WeBank as a women-owned business was huge because many organizations look for companies with this diversity classification. And Stephen holds a bachelor's degree in marketing and communications. She has served as vice president and president for the Children's Advocate Organization, CASA, for 12 years that she was involved. And during her term, she credits the organization for taking her knowledge of child abuse and the foster care system to a whole new level. And that's a heart place for me, as a foster care system. So lots to talk about here today. Angela, welcome to Women Who Own It.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I'm exhausted by hearing all of that that I do, because I do it.
I am too. that is a lot. So we'll dive into that a little bit. But, you know, you've run successfully three companies. That's a lot on your plate. Can you share with us, how did you find your calling, Angela, as an entrepreneur? Did it just kind of come to you, or what was the process for you?
You know, it's kind of interesting, because I I do career coaching on the side, and I tell a lot of college students, I always say, you know, what you're doing today, you may not be doing in the future. I went to college to work in marketing communications in the television industry at the time. But back during those early years, there were a lot of layoffs. And so I decided, you know, hey, this is not working for me at this time. So I actually heard about an opportunity as a recruiter, and I interviewed with the company and I got the job. And I learned it, but the company was not successful. And after 2 years, they closed their doors. But I had learned such a valuable skill, and I wanted to embark on it and really make it better. And so that's when I started with $3,000. I would never recommend anyone do that, but I come from a family of entrepreneurs. And so I did it, and you know, that's how it started. But you know, I've been in search for 30 years at the C-suite level, and I love making people's lives better. I really do. So that's kind of how the search firm came. And so that was kind of a journey in itself, but we still have that. Everybody thinks that we've moved on. I've got two business, three, and I have a great team worldwide as well.
Yeah. And I want to dive into, because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, it's just in their blood of creating ideas and turning it into a business. Right.
Right.
And so obviously, many of us are ADD or ADHD. I think it's kind of, it can be a real plus and obviously sometimes a minus, but it really came out of the challenges you and your son have faced.
Yeah.
Has having ADHD as an entrepreneur helped you or hindered you? I'm just curious.
Well, first of all, in my opinion, it has helped me because now I understand why I can do multiple things at once. But imagine this, take it back for just a moment. Here I'm in this search firm. I find myself as a single mom when my son is 1 year old. And for 10 years, I am running an executive search firm, and the teachers are calling me every day. The principals are calling. The counselors are calling. He's forgot his lunch. He forgot his homework. And it was really challenging. And so through those experiences, you know, this company came about organically because I'll tell you the light bulb moment. I was looking through his backpack and I was looking through it one day and I realized he was very organized, but I thought, oh my goodness, he sees a sea of black. And what I mean by that is he had black folders. They were labeled. I'd done a really good job of putting those together. But then he had such great anxiety that when the teacher would say, hand in your history homework, he had done the work, but the anxiety took over and he wasn't able to think. So then we started incorporating color. And then I just started creating products that didn't exist because nothing was working.
Wow, that's powerful. That really resonates with me too, Angela, because my daughter went through something similar. And we did not discover that she had these focus issues until her senior year in high school.
Wow.
And, you know, she did great up till about ninth grade and then really struggled and was just told that, you know, she didn't care and she was, you know, really not present of her own accord. And then come to find out that this is what was really going on. Of course, as
and
a
you
mom.
Know, that's an interesting fact because I just read an article today about parents that have students in college that were trying to get the 504 or the IEP, but if the student was not diagnosed in their high school years, it's extremely difficult to get it in college. And so I, you know, the fact that we found out early was in a way a blessing because we were able to help him earlier. And I want to make a note about that. When I was one of those moms, I didn't want to admit it. I thought surely not, you know, he's a kid, he's having fun. But what happened was when his physician said, Angela, he said, we've had him tested three times. When he's at the low level or the mid level, we can do certain things. Your son is at one of the highest levels. And he said, and that's when it got my attention. And that's when I thought, well, I have to do something to help him.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you did because obviously there's a big need out there. And I wish I would have known about you back then, that would have really helped. But you know, you've obviously tapped into a demand with that company because it is so needed. And you know, I'm just curious what your biggest challenges in growing Refocus mm-hmm. have been, and what are some things that you've learned?
Sure. So, you know, if I go back with him when he was younger, I was busy running my search firm, and then I started creating these products. And then when I turned 45, that's when I thought I was getting early onset dementia. And I found out that I tested just as high as my son did with ADHD, which made all the sense in the world, right? But I thought at that time, I thought, you know, I should create planners, or I should create other products that help other people. And then I took what I had learned with my son into my search firm, which really helped both businesses grow even bigger. What I found was that going back in history, when my son was in fifth grade, that is, he's 22 now. So back then, if you gave him medicine or did anything, that was very controversial, very controversial. Today, it is more openly talked about. And we have this saying that I wrote an anxiety journal for young adults and for adults. And there's a statement in there, and there's two things, that, and it says, it's not a race. It's not a race. No matter what we're going through, because we all feel like, oh, we got to do this, we got to be here, we got to, you know, and we only get our lives stressed out if we allow them to be. And so the challenges that we face in our company is, I thought, again, that we would be doing organizational products. People love the story of our company, and it's amazing, because the emails I get from people that say, you've made me, instead of getting onto my son or daughter, you've made me start looking through their eyes. Because our slogan is, you know, our products are created through the eyes of a child with ADHD. But more than anything, I have the saying that I say, you know, we all get so busy that we need to stop, take a moment, and refocus. And I think mm-hmm. we have to present that calm to our children as well, or teenagers, yeah. or young adults. But as
we all need that. We all right. need that, right? That's something that's right. I'm trying to do more and more of.
That's right.
In my own life, is to have that quiet time. And we are this society that is race on to the next, and I got to be there. But sometimes, or actually not sometimes, a lot of times I notice is that when we pause and take a step back, we actually move forward faster.
That's right.
Because we do it with more of a clear mind.
That's right. And when you mentioned the challenges, so our challenges, we now have 36 products. We are certified with WeBank, which I'll mention it in a minute, which has been such a great experience, but also with WOSB and Disability N, and we're pending ACDBE right now. And we're growing. We're in Amazon, Walmart, Wayfair, Staples.com. We've got 250 shippers and Staples stores nationwide. We're growing and growing, and it's really exciting, but with growth comes growing pains and challenges, right? Mm-hmm. And so with this company, I have invested all of my funds into this company. So we are fully privately funded. I've had no investors. And so, you know, we've had some challenges along the way, but it's growth. It's really the growth of, you know, when you have to buy like 10,000 more or 100,000 more of these types of products for fulfillment and your supply chain, you know, then you have to think, okay, do you need investors or how do you grow? And I've reached out to the WeBank support team, and they've been absolutely terrific, as well as our PTAC coordinator, you know, with the government. They've been really great too. And all of this is new. You got to remember, I was a recruiter, right? I never thought I was creative. I never really did. But now it's like I wake up every day, and I drive my husband crazy, because I always say, I've got this idea and you've got to hear it. Da, 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 da. And he's like, can I just have like 5 minutes?
Just speak right? to my husband, because I think they would probably have a lot in common.
Exactly.
That experience. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure a lot of you that are listening to the show too, you're like, yeah, that's me. I get excited. I come up with new ideas. That's right. our.
But write those down. This is what I've learned more than anything. When you wake up or you have those ideas, you have to write them down. Get our calendar. We've got a to-do list in the middle. Write them down there where you won't lose them, because people forget. You know, I do. I do the same thing. If I don't write them down, it will escape me and it will come back to me until months later.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If it's not written down, then good chances that it's going to dissolve into the atmosphere. And then somebody else will come up with the idea and you'll just be, darn it.
Right.
I knew
right.
I should have done that.
Right.
So, well, I love all this conversation. I can so relate to it. Now, in addition to Refocus, mm-hmm. you have a recruiting firm, like you were saying, that works with companies in the nutraceutical industry.
Yes.
So, I want to dive into this a little bit because obviously building a team is a big deal, and it's what as businesses are scaling, which we talk a lot about on this show. And we work in our community, Pinnacle Global Network, on helping people build a team-managed company. Do you feel like this is an abundant time or a challenging time for recruiting? Because you hear the news, it's like the quiet quitting, and then people can't find a job, and then there's a plethora of people. So what are you experiencing, like in the thick of it?
Right. Well, we're very specialized. And so it's interesting. We've never advertised once. I don't know why, but we have never advertised. And our business comes from word of mouth or other clients that have recommended us. And I think the biggest compliment I've ever received in my search firm is that companies, when they give us a search, I instruct my team as well as myself that we are not to talk about that position. We have a different methodology, and we're not to, really brag about it, because I feel like that's the company's, that's their pride to come out and say, we have hired the CEO at this position, et cetera, et cetera. But when they're telling us information that's confidential, it remains confidential. And so finding the right people to work on your team is crucial. And if they don't have a passion for what they're doing, as a CEO, you can feel it. And what I always say is, look, if you don't want to be in recruiting or you don't want to be here, let's find out what you really want to do, right? Let's do that. And so we have done more of the C-suite level, more of the junior level. I think there's been a lot of recruitment going on. Ours is very specialized. So I would say it's kind of maintained itself along the way. We've had some struggles about work, wanting to stay remote and not move or do the hybrid. And then the companies are now wanting them to come in. So you have those challenges. But, I've done this for 30 years. So I went through, 9/11 and those times and downtime. So you keep going.
Yeah.
You just keep going. You figure it out. Amazon wrote an article on us about, with Refocus, we lost $25,000 to an email phishing scam. And I told my team then, I said, listen, it's 25,000. It's not 250 million. You keep going. We go on. And so just like with search, you change direction if you need to. If you need to go into a different industry, I recommend doing that. But if your heart's not in it, it shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you've touched on some really good points there, because that's really, I think, the longevity of a business is that figure outable, like you just find a way to figure it out, whatever the challenge is. So speaking of recruiting, what are the biggest mistakes that you've seen that the businesses make when they're handling their own recruiting or their hiring or onboarding?
So I could talk about that all day long. The biggest mistake is timing. I always say, when we do a search with someone, we can go as fast as they do. But when they drag their feet, or they can't get people to interview, or they have 12 people that they want to have on the interviewing team, and it's now 4, 5, 6 months, that candidate is looking at other positions.
Yes.
And they don't, a lot of clients don't like to be rushed like that, but that's what happens. And then the candidate will take another role. On the flip side, if you're a candidate, one of the biggest mistakes is if you don't hear back, you will badger the recruiter to death, or you'll go around the recruiter and you'll talk to the company. And that usually always ends up to be a mistake. Because again, they're looking at your characteristics. They're looking at you as a person. And so I would say really just timing and knowing what they want. Because with our methodology, we don't send out a spec to 200 people. We find the talent And then we narrow it down. And then our success rate is 98% because of that reason. And so, you know, it's really being asking great questions. You know, if, you know, the company to their team, what is missing in our team? What is missing in our leadership team? You know, what is it that we need to do to make that change to get to, we're at A and B, let's get to E, right? How do we get there? And have a plan to do that. And sometimes internally, you will have one person that might not like a candidate that doesn't go forward, and it slows the process down. So I would say just that internal communication.
Yeah, internal communication. But also it sounds to me like you're, when you do this, you're very clear on what and who you're looking for, what the skills are. Like you're just very targeted. It's the same thing when you're marketing. So if you are, you're trying to get new customers, for instance, and you have to be searching in the right places, you need to be searching for the right perfect fit market, and you need to be searching with the right language. It's all, you know, all those things have to be in alignment. So it's the same thing, you know, what you're doing in a sense, but you're obviously recruiting people for positions and so forth. So the more you can narrow that down instead of having a wider net, which it sounds like that's what you're doing. But for those of you listening, I think that's just a great thing to remember as you are, you know, looking for people for your team.
Right. Because our if you look at our website, it says what's missing in your leadership team. Because usually there's something that's keeping you from growing. Is that a department or is that a person? What is that from keeping you from growing? And has the growth changed to a different direction? And you have to be flexible, right? If you're running your company like you did 20 years ago, it's, you know, it's not going to move ahead. You'll still have your stable ideas and stable platform, but there's a new generation coming up the line and we have to move with them.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, that idea of what got you here won't get you there. And we talk about this all the time with our community and clients, because if you're wanting to scale, but you're still operating the way you were in the early, even if you're bigger, but you're still using those fallback strategies you did in the early days, you're literally choking the growth of your company. And I think, you know, hiring can be a big roadblock for businesses and business owners, because we often think, oh, we don't have enough cash to do it. But actually, you are slowing your cash flow, because with the right people on your team, they're actually going to help you grow the business, go after those opportunities that are not happening now because you're so busy, you don't have time.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, going back, when I was doing this as a single mom, a lot of those searches, we do retain more now, but I was doing some contingency where you don't get paid until you place the candidate. As a single mom with no child support, believe me, you get up every day with that drive and you go. And I've always, for me, that's, you know, it was giving my son everything I could in life. So that was my drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, leadership. So, you know, it's such a big word, but it's probably the most important part of growing and scaling a company. So shifting from being that solopreneur to being, you know, management to really stepping into leadership. What stands out to you, Angela, that you've learned along the way to be most important, the most important value for you as a leader for your company and the companies that you work with?
It's very simple. It starts from the top. It starts from the top. If you micromanage your team, you're going to get those results. If you are open to listening to what your team has, you're going to have a more open and collaborative conversation. But the way that you handle your company and the way that you present yourself to the world, you are presenting the people that work with you. And and how they model you. Because in any succession planning, if you have, let's say, you know, somebody that's very angry and, you know, very tries to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? More of the control. They want to control, you know, everything. They don't want to give the department leadership the responsibilities or hand over projects. That is a recipe for minimal growth. And so leadership at the top, here's one of the things that I admire so much. I interviewed a CEO, and we were doing a search for a CEO. And as I interviewed all of the candidates, the one thing that stuck out to me was that this one candidate, when I did his references, this is what his employees would say. They would say, no matter what's going on, there could be a fire going on in the other building. There could be something going on. But this CEO stops everything, takes their time, looks at me, listens to me, and gives me their full attention. And that has stuck with me so many times because I interviewed another candidate who there was a change in management and change in business structure. And I said, I bet you're going through a lot of stress right now. And he said, well, yeah, he goes, my phone's ringing off the hook and all of that for my employees. And I said, well, how do you handle that? And his response, I will never forget. He said, I changed my phone number. And I thought, you, sir, are not the candidate
wow.
for the leadership role.
I
called the company and I just said, listen, this is a great candidate. He's one of our top three, but I've got to be honest with you. What's the word I'm looking for? More of the control. They want to control, you know, everything. They don't want to give the department leadership the responsibilities or hand over projects. That is a recipe for minimal growth. And so leadership at the top, here's one of the things that I admire so much. I interviewed a CEO and we were doing a search for a CEO. And as I interviewed all of the candidates, the one thing that stuck out to me was that this one candidate, when I did his references, this is what his employees would say. They would say, no matter what's going on, there could be a fire going on in the other building. There could be something going on. But this CEO stops everything, takes their time, looks at me, listens to me, and gives me their full attention. And that has stuck with me so many times because I interviewed another candidate who there was a change in management and change in business structure. And I said, I bet you're going through a lot of stress right now. And he said, well, yeah, he goes, my phone's ringing off the hook and all of that for my employees. And I said, well, how do you handle that? And his response, I will never forget. He said, I changed my phone number. And I thought, you, sir, are not the candidate.
Wow.
For the leadership role.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I just want to thank everybody at the WeBank organization and the Women Who Own a Podcast, Tiffany and Allison and everybody at Pinnacle. I just thank you so much. But no matter what you're going through, don't forget to stop, take a moment and refocus, and check us out on our next podcast coming up very soon. Have a great week.